Well, hello and welcome to another episode of Real Estate Investing with Jay Connor. I'm Jay Connor, the Private Money Authority, also the host of the show. And I want to welcome you, whether you're brand new or you've been following the show for some time. My lands, we launched back in June 2018, tracking fast to over 300,000 downloads thanks to you. And I do need your help. If you find this episode to be valuable and you can use this information in your real estate investing business, then please help me out. Let's share this information. Like, share, subscribe, rate, and review. Whether you are on iTunes or watching on YouTube or any of our other platforms. Well, here on the show, we talk all things that relate to real estate investing. We talk about how to find deals. We talk about how to fund the deals without relying on local banks, mortgage companies, or even hard money lenders. We talk about how to sell houses, rehab houses, and how to automate your business to where you're actually running it and it's not running you. But as I mentioned, I'm known as the Private Money Authority. I became an expert on raising private money, and I'm not talking about doing business with brokers. I'm talking about actually attracting hundreds of thousands and in the millions of dollars in funding that's got nothing to do with your credit, your verification of income, or actually even the number of deals that you've done. If you're interested in getting more funding for your deals to where you never miss out on a deal because you didn't have the money, I've got a free gift for you. Yes, I have got a new monthly membership that I launched that I'm going to show you how to get free access to the membership. It's called the Private Money Academy, the Private Money Academy. And in the membership, twice a month, I am live on Zoom with coaching for all of the Academy members. We're tracking fast to 1,000 members. Right now, we got about 150 members. And as a matter of fact, the next live Zoom coaching call is within the next week. So I'm going to tell you how to get in. You get the live coaching. We also put one of the members in the hot seat where we analyze your business, figure out your challenges and fix your challenges to where you're able to take your business to the next level. And we also have new content and training in the membership every month on finding, flipping, automating, funding, selling, et cetera. We also cover all in the membership, all types of real estate deals. We cover single family houses, commercial, land, self-storage, and you name it, we got it covered. So here's how you can take advantage of checking it out for free. Go to www.jayconner.com/trial, T-R-I-A-L. Again, that's jayconner.com/trial, T-R-I-A-L. Look forward to having you live on the membership Zoom conference calls. Well, now, in addition to that, if you've been tuning in for any time, you know that here at Real Estate Investing with Jay Connor, I have amazing experts. And in fact, the guest that I have on today's show is a good friend of mine and is a fellow member of a very top end mastermind group where we have about 120 real estate investors from all across the nation. We get together about four times a year and help each other out on our businesses. Well, let me tell you about my friend. First of all, he's an entrepreneur with over, as of today, 24 years of experience, and he has four very successful real estate investment companies. In addition to that, my friend and I have got the same heart, and we've got a lot in common. He's a pastor and also a founder of multiple life-changing ministries. And as of this date, in the last 15 years, he has impacted and been blessed to impact over 40,000 people. He's been seen on CBN, NBC, CTN, and featured in the St. Petersburg Times, Tampa Tribune, and he's known as the transformation expert. In addition to that, he's experienced his own life transformations as well, overcoming the upbringing from a broken home and his life as a drug dealer to becoming a successful entrepreneur, pastor, husband, and a father. In addition to that, his spiritual breakthroughs led him out of the economic collapse and the financial collapse of 2008, and man, can I not relate to that, took him from bankruptcy to a real estate rehabbing business, generating a seven-figure annual income. Again, something else that he and I have in common. Also, he and I have got another YET person that's a mutual friend and mentor. Back in 2013, he co-authored a book titled Dare to Succeed with Jack Canfield, who is the co-creator of Chicken Soup for the Soul, detailing in this book his personal and professional rise from the ashes. His mentors and his coaches include world-renowned business leaders, authors, international speakers such as Les Brown, and also John C. Maxwell. He also is an active member, contributed to the same mastermind group that Hannah and I are a member of, comprised, as I mentioned, of nation's elite real estate investors. Beyond that, he passionately believes in God's promise of abundance and freedom, and he uses his unique strategies to help transform lives like yours by unlocking spiritual, mental, and tactical potential through real estate investing. He also has a very popular podcast titled The Real Estate Preacher. On the podcast, he shares his successes and his failures, along with his proven strategies and techniques that help build systems that work. He's proven them to work, and he does this so others like you can achieve their own seven-figure incomes and their own abundance, just like him. Welcome to the show, my friend, Randy Lawrence, also known as the Real Estate Preacher.
Hello, Randy. Awesome, my brother. Good to see you.
Good to see you too, man. Would you reach around, please, and like scoop up a little energy and bring to the show? I think you need to grab a little more.
I'm ready. After that intro, I'm ready to jump up and run around the building, man. Praise the Lord.
Randy, you've got quite the story, quite the backstory. At one time, you were a drug dealer.
Yep.
You were bankrupt.
Yeah.
You were like slap dab at one time in the financial collapse of 2008.
Yeah.
So before we get into those pieces of your story, how about give us your backstory and an overview as to where you've been and what you went through to get you where you are now?
Sure, man. Well, so my background, I come from, a broken home, parents divorced at, 4 or 5 years old. That kind of led to, by the time I'm in middle school, high school, doing my own thing, kind of wayward with the wrong crowd, wrong group, doing the wrong things, and just, partying and all like that. Went on through college, got my degree in finance, minor in economics, went into the stock brokerage business right after that. Really kind of continued on with that same kind of money and partying lifestyle and all. And it was probably about 27 that I, had success in that respect, but really wasn't fulfilled. And it was at that time that I really kind of found, through reading a book, Norm Miller, chairman of Interstate Batteries, where it outlined about faith in God. I put my trust in Christ. It really just complete 180 for my life. Got involved in the church locally, and then met my wife there, got married, and then, God called me into ministry as well. And so I'm running a money management company that I started, and then also ministering there at the church. And probably around about 2003, God just really, I showed the power of the difference of what real estate can do versus, stocks, bonds, options, and traditional money management. So really started focusing on that. And, that was really the beginning of where things took off for us. We sold our money management practice in 2006 and moved out north of Tampa to start a church. And then, of course, that's where we were, having gone through that economic collapse that happened here in Florida. And it was just quite the incredible journey, because I was simultaneously pastoring the church, also running the real estate business, and navigating the economic collapse that the whole country went through. So really kind of an incredible time at that moment in time.
Did you say you met your wife at church?
I did. You know, it's funny. My dad always used to ride me. Now, again, he was in North Carolina. We'd see each other maybe once a year, talk on the phone once a week. I'd be going to the bar on happy hour after work, and I'd talk to him on the weekend. He's like, "What you doing?" I saw him going out with some friends at a ball game. And he's like, "Man, you should go to church." I'm like, "Go to church?" He's like, "Well, that's where you're going to meet you a right girl." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's not the kind of right girl I want to meet." But he was right. you know? And so, yeah, I was blessed to meet my beautiful wife, Sarah Jo, there. And we've been married now 21 years coming up in October.
Did you say her name is Sarah Jo?
Sarah Jo, yeah. She's
well, we got two things in common. We both met our wives or our to-be wives at church.
Yeah.
And both of them have good Southern double names. Mine is Carol Joy.
Okay.
And yours is Sarah Jo. You want to know something else we got in common? In your bio in 2013, you co-authored a book with Jack Canfield named Dare to Succeed.
Yep.
Well, guess what? 2 years later in 2015, I got certified as a Jack Canfield trainer by Jack Canfield himself.
Awesome. Yeah. It's amazing how many things, you know, it's like the commonalities that the Lord, when you surround yourself with great people, it's like you attract those similar qualities. And then here it is, you know, that we've been together through CG and the friendship there. And then now as we connect together with that further, you find all these backstories that line up with the identical things. That's just pretty cool.
Well, you know, I don't know who came up with the idiotic idea, in my opinion, that opposites attract. That's stupid. I want to be around people that's like me. It's like birds of the same feather flock together, right?
For sure. Absolutely. And that's, you know, where really is that you begin to have the synergies, the thinking that's the same, the thinking that elevates one another and pushes each other to higher levels. That's when I heard your intro about the monthly mentorship program. It's like, man, that's what people need to be a part of, because, you know, you come together with great thinking and then it inspires your thinking. And then you see these actions that others are doing, or, you know, it's just a win-win. It's like the synergy of one plus one. It's more like, you know, 2 times 2 equals 4. And then it just expansionally grows, you know, and that's the thing, man. So, yeah,
exactly. So, would you say, first of all, were you raised going to church or no?
I was not. You know, both my parents, you know, kind of by the time I was in middle school, I was kind of given ability to start making my own decisions, and, you know, good parents, but this not focused on, you know, religion or, and again, as a broken home, you know, they were just trying to do the best they could do to do their thing. And, you know, so that left me to my own accord, and left to my own accord, I probably connected together with the wrong group and ran with the wrong crowd and all that kind of stuff.
So I want to speak for a moment to people listening in or viewing, whichever platform they're viewing us on or listening. My best guess is the majority of people out there, like you and me, went through a time in their life, the majority, not all, but a lot of people went through a time in their life or an extended time in their life that was very dark, mm-hmm. right? And I went through my dark time. My dark time lasted from the time I was 21 years old until I was 24 years old. And it just progressively got darker and darker and darker. Here's my question for you. Did you have a wake-up call? If so, what was it?
Yeah.
And if you did, what was it? How did you get out of it?
Yeah. So I was, you know, in that period for me would probably been 13 through 27. So like 14 years, kind of like Joseph in the journey to kind of coming out of the pit and all like that. But it was really at 27. I was helping take care of my mom. She had gone through numerous health challenges with failed back surgeries and all like that. And I had gotten a DUI charge, you know, for driving home, apparently intoxicated. And again, I'm like, no, you know, that's not the truth. But really what it was for me at that moment was, it was this wake up call that here I am, 27. I'm facing the possibility of losing my license for 6 months. And, you know, I worked at a brokerage firm in Tampa. I lived in Seminole there with my mom, helping to take care of her through these recoveries and health things she's going through. And it just hit me like, you know, good Lord, man, I'm nowhere near where I want to be in life. Because if I lose this thing, now I'm going to have to ride my bike to the 7-Eleven and maybe get a job there. Not knocking people to work at 7-Eleven, but that was not my aspiration. And I'm like, what I'd aspired to become and to do and achieve is nowhere near the realities. And the truth of the matter is, it's because of where I'm at in my life and the choices. And so that began to be that process to me to see, it's like what I've been doing is not the right thing. And so in short order, I laid my hands on a book. Another friend of mine and I, we'd started an automotive garage, and we sold Interstate Batteries. And so the Interstate Battery salesman dropped off a book called Beyond the Norm. And it was about Norm Miller and his journey. I thought it was a sales success book, but it was his journey on how he came to faith in Christ. And then they became the number one battery reseller in the world and went on to such great success. And when I read that book, I'm like, bam, that's it. He's got a beautiful wife. He's got success. He's got fulfillment. He's found it all in Jesus. And I'm like, wow. And I'm like, you know, Lord, if that's true and this is real, come into my life, come into my heart, show me the direction you want me to go. And it was just like, wham, this giant Volkswagen that I've been carrying on my shoulder for 15 years was just released. And it was just an incredible thing. And I didn't know what exactly happened, but I knew something happened and that my life had been changed. I could just feel it at that moment.
If you would like to follow Randy Lawrence and his story, you can follow Randy at www.therealestatepreacher.com, therealestatepreacher.com. So Randy, when did you start in real estate? How did you get into real estate? And what does your business model look like today?
Yeah, so we started in 2003. I bought my first multifamily property with a little small duplex in 99. And you know, just really loved real estate. Even while I was a stockbroker and a money manager, you know, I just loved real estate. And the more I looked at it, I saw the power of the returns you could generate in real estate with a lower adjusted beta or better risk adjusted return than what we were getting with our stock portfolios. And so it was 2003. I mean, God just really helped me to see that's the direction. And so we bought our first small apartment complex in 2003 and began buying more properties. Now in Florida, it was a real white hot market, so it was tough to get properties. My first mentors had several thousand doors that they owned in apartments. And so that had always been our focus. But, you know, we probably started in 5 and 6 rehabbing houses just because there's so much, you know, money that could be made in that arena. And so we started building that business and also, you know, owning the small multifamilies. And 2008 hit. We went through the decline here in Florida. Thankfully, it was a great retooling that helped me to just learn a lot through that process. And so we came out through that process where a lot of people just left real estate. We did a huge short sale business, helped hundreds of people. And then, you know, 2011, 12, 13 started rehabbing houses again. And then 15 started focusing back on large multifamily. So now to this day, kind of fast forward, we have over $100 million in apartment complexes on our commercial multifamily side. We have probably 3 more complexes under contract now. We'll buy 8 more complexes next year. It's kind of a velocity approach that we use. And then we still, on the residential side, buy, fix, and sell about 70 houses a year.
Wow, that's quite an operation for both single family and your commercial. What size operation do you have as far as employees that are with you full time? And in other words, what size is your team? Yep.
Yeah, so our internal team here in the office, we're based in Largo, Florida, which is kind of the Tampa Bay area. We have 7 employees in our internal office team. And then we have right about 28 employees that are through our multifamily side through our management partnership so that, you know, they're not direct report to me, but they work for our company through our management operations. So with every property that we buy, because on the apartment side, our complexes tend to be 75 units to 200 units is the range. Kind of the sweet spot's probably 100, 110, 15. And so every one of those complexes, we always have a full-time manager and a full-time maintenance. And so with every complex we buy, that adds 2 more people to the mix. And then we have a regional manager that oversees them. And then one of our internal asset managers that oversee them as well.
On your apartment complex projects, is your business model to search for distressed properties that you can fix up and get the rents raised and then turn them for a profit? Or what's your business model look like? Are you staying in the deal long term or what?
Our focus typically is about a 3-year hold. We look for kind of the threefold holy grail, if you will, that we're looking for the property that has a, you know, original type condition. So we focus on workforce type housing. So that's people making between 30 to 60 grand, you know, real C plus type property. These people are, you know, typically blue collar or lower end white collar workers, you know, just good quality working Americans. They need a good place to live. So that property typically built in the 70s, early 80s, original condition on the interiors. A lot of times a little bit of deferred maintenance, you know, where they've owned it, but they just haven't, you know, really fixed it up and kept it spruced up on the outside. They're typically, you know, keeping the cash flow. And then operational areas where we can improve efficiencies because we have a more corporate structure, you know, large scale discounts. So with that, we're able to go in, upgrade the units so that they're for about $3,800. We're able to make them like new 2000s, you know, paint the cabinets, new floor, new lighting. And then bring the rent, because if they're renting at 800 and the market's at 9, it makes sense. This place is a little tired. The place is not updated. So we're able to update the units on the turn. So that keeps cash flow consistent. It keeps us to be, you know, positive out of the gate so that we're not running a negative. And it also is much more secure because we've got positive cash flow from day one. So on a 100 unit property, it takes us probably about 18 months to cycle through the rent roll, renovate the units. The first 90 days, though, we renovate the exterior so it gives it a fresh pop and looks nice. So, you know, the first 3 months you pull up on the property, looks like a new place, and we're able to start methodically working through the rent roll to improve the interiors during that time as well. And then that prepares us to be done within 24 months and then operate it for another 12 months to really improve the T12 and prep it ready for sale. So
I think we lost Jay for a minute there, Randy. So
no problem. Yeah. So, well then, you know, so just kind of carrying forward with our business model on it. So typically those properties, you know, we're buying them at 85, 90, 95% occupied, and we have people that invest with us in the complex. So, you know, we're buying a, let's say a $10 million complex. We get a $7.5 to $8 million loan. And then that additional $2 million comes in the form of our capital, as well as other people investing with us. And, you know, it's typically like that is a 3-year hold period based on the model that I just shared.
So, cool. So I have a question that's a personal interest to me. And that is the if I invest in your deal or your project, is it interest that comes back or interest plus a percentage of profits, or how does that work?
So how it works on the majority of our properties, we have a preferred return model where you're getting a 12% preferred return. So you get 7% paid on cash flow. So that's a quarterly check every quarter. And then you get another 5% appreciation that is then a preferred return. So that you, for example, put in 100 grand, you're getting 7,000 a year paid quarterly, and then another 5,000 a year that's accruing as appreciation, so that when the property sold in 3 years, you get the 100 grand back plus another 15,000 that's the appreciation. And then meanwhile, you were paid 21,000 through the cash flow during that 3-year hold period. The interesting thing with apartments too, and this is one of the greatest elements to it, because you're an actual owner in the individual apartment, you get a K-1. And so instead of a 1099, you get a K-1. And on that K-1, because of the depreciation, you typically on 100,000, about a 40,000 depreciation loss. So you actually got 7,000 of income, but your tax statement shows you lost 40 grand. So you don't pay any tax on that 7,000. So it really is a highly favorable and tax efficient investment vehicle.
I don't understand why anyone would buy stocks just listening to you right now. For sure. Jay has returned
Awesome.
So I'm gonna step away and make room for him right now.
All right, very good.
So I don't know what happened, but poof, I'm gone, poof, I'm back. Anyway, so you may have already answered this question, Randy, but one more chance. Your favorite way to find your apartment deals, and how many have you got to analyze to buy one?
Yeah, they're very good questions. So really, you know, we network in any market. So like if you focus on a market that you want to be in, we want to be in high growth markets because that's where demographics and jobs are coming. So in that market, you're going to have typically 3 to 5 people that are the majority of the brokers that sell the big projects, right? And so we develop a relationship with those people. They know that we're no BS, shake on it, we get it done. And with that, we've developed a very clear track record and a confidence. So when a deal comes, that like I just got an email yesterday, guys like, hey, we've got an amazing property that it's off market. The seller's looking to want to sell it. We want to, you know, get your input on it first. We get that kind of first shot at stuff that other people aren't going to get because of the relationships we've developed and the performance that we've done in executing, you know. And so that's really the number one strategy that has yielded the results that we've seen. And then currently we own 11 complexes right now, just over 1,000 doors. And then we have 3 more complexes under contract right now that'll bring us right to about 1,400.
Awesome. And how many deals you got to analyze to buy one?
Oh, yes. That's the question right there. So it probably is anywhere from 30 to 40. A lot of times, you know, we've developed the system where I have a full-time acquisitions person. We have a 2 10x14 double spreadsheet, and he's just going through property after property after property. And so on a weekly basis, kind of the crap that's on the back and it migrates to the front. So now when you get to the front page, the top 5 to 10 are right there for me to look at. And then we say, okay, dive into this one, this one, this one. And that's a process that we've refined and developed so that we're able to go through that kind of volume, because you got to shift through the chafe to find that, you know, nugget of gold. And, you know, and that's really been the key. And so I think a lot of times people looking at apartments, you know, they mistake, well, like, oh, well, I'll look at this one or look at that one. And it's like, that's really not how it works. You've got to be willing to, one, be accurate in understanding the dynamics that go into it. And then two, have the volume ability to be able to look at a lot of deals.
Excellent. Well, Randy, it's been such a pleasure to have you here on the show. And folks, to stay connected with Randy Lawrence, go on over to his website at www.therealestatepreacher.com. God bless you, Randy. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, brother. You have an awesome day. God bless.
You do too. There you have it, folks. This wraps up another episode and show of Real Estate Investing with Jay Connor. I'm Jay Connor, the Private Money Authority, wishing you all the best. Here's to taking your real estate investing business to the next level, and I'll see you on the next show. We'll be right back.